Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm every year's Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degree-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturday, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right. The Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And, by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And also a quick shout-out and thanks to our many stations who have been taking us for the last two-and-a-half-plus decades. And, of course, these new, newer podcasting networks picking us up as well, whether it's Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Amazon Music Italy, Apple, and, of course, Spotify. And CRN Talk's been taking us for a long time. Check us out on crntalk.com, their radio network unto themselves in their own right. They're carrying us on their Channel 4. They also carry us through Roku. So it just, you know, big thanks to one and all, but most assuredly, especially to my audience, because without you guys, none of this is possible. A bunch of things to cover today. The Supreme Court rules 6-3. The lower courts may no longer issue nationwide injunctions against the executive branch because doing so exceeds their jurisdictional authority. So the big question is, doesn't this remove the Democrats' last major ability to stifle the winning electorate's agenda? I think so. We're also covering the Democrats' continuing effort to attack the legality and efficacy of Trump's bombing of Iran's nuclear program. This despite the avalanche of evidence contradicting those positions. I mean, are they really this thick or simply sociopathic? I mean, oh my God, not only does the U.S. intelligence SETCOM say that it was significantly destroyed, all three major nuclear facilities, but also the Israeli intelligence, as well as the U.N.'s IAEA. Rafael Grossi says, listen, there was an Iran before the bombing and an Iran after the bombing, and it's night and day. Yes, their nuclear program has been significantly degraded. But if that wasn't enough, the Iran's foreign minister himself said, yeah, it's been badly damaged, badly destroyed. Now, the Ayatollah is saying, oh, not much at all, but who gives a crap what he has to say? The foreign minister said he said the quiet part out loud. But anyway, I want to get back to the bombshell revelation, the Supreme Court 6-3 ruling that lower courts may no longer issue nationwide injunctions. I mean, that's essentially where we've arrived. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing. Over to the show, Bobby Charles, Maine gubernatorial candidate, spokesperson for AMAC.us. He's also a frequent commentator on Fox TV, radio, and in print. And he served in both the Reagan and Bush 41 White Houses. Also, he was assistant secretary of state under Colin Powell. And his new book is available for pre-order, the highly praised work. entitled Cherish America, Stories of Courage, Character, and Kindness. Bobby, great to have you back. How are you today?
Alan, it's always great to be on your show. I feel like we could spend 2 hours, and of course, you can talk gubernatorial issues, you can talk Iran, and of course, you can talk this Supreme Court case. And one thing that you might not know about me is I spent 10 years as a naval intelligence officer. So it's, there's some obvious things going on here that you've done a great job of describing.
Well, thank you. And actually, I'm a fellow squid. And for a while, even though it was only a black shoe E-type, I still had a top secret clearance because I was temporarily assigned to CAG, the carrier air group that's always attached to an aircraft carrier. All the fighter squadrons had to contribute people. Anyway, it's intriguing to see how people are in just abject denial over the efficacy of our bombing. And, of course, they took that partial self-labeled low-confidence intel report and enjoyed the abridging of it and went to town with it. They took a peripheral observation, inferred it as if it were a conclusive analysis, and then projected it accordingly. Obviously, you can't go with an intel leak of that nature because it was clearly politicized. But before I get lost in any of that, I've got to ask you about this 6-3 ruling in the Supreme Court, because this is the most impactful development of the year. I mean, it is through these lower courts that the Democrats have been able to stifle Trump's agenda across the board, essentially thinking these little courts, thinking they had the right to supplant the agenda chosen by the electorate as manifested through their choice of leadership of the executive. And, each branch has certain powers beyond the reach of the other two, and these little mealy-mouthed district judges thought that they could transcend the Constitution's separation of powers, or have I been overly dramatic in my description? Your take on it, Bobby Charles?
Yeah, so let me address the court before I talk about Iran. In all honesty, so I was also a U.S. Court of Appeals clerk on the Ninth Circuit for a Reagan appointee, and what has happened over the last 10 or 15 years is that there has been a creep, I'll call it judicial creep. There has been a creep by district court judges into the realm of believing, and it really did start really with a vengeance during the first Trump administration. Almost all of these judges that have done this are political activists that have shown up on the bench later. They're at least judicial activists. And so they have wanted to issue a district court ruling. Remember, the way it works is you got a Supreme Court, you got the circuit courts, you got 11 circuits, and then you've got these district courts that have a very specific, and it's statutory, they don't even show up in the Constitution. The Congress created district courts, and these inferior district courts have a very specific geographic jurisdiction. They actually have a specific subject matter jurisdiction. They can only do certain things by statute. Well, what's happened is the Democrats have not called them out because a lot of these district judges over the last 10 or 15 years have decided that, particularly on immigration issues, they're going to issue a ruling and it's going to apply nationwide. Notably, these rulings are never, the conservative rulings are never given that affordability, so that reach jurisdiction-wise. So, for example, there's a case called Tennessee v. Cardona, which was decided in January of this year, that essentially said the president is absolutely right in his executive order. Boys are boys, girls are girls. There's two constitutional reasons and one statutory reason why Title IX only applies to biological boys and girls. It only applies to biological girls, separating them from biological boys. That was a district court case. You didn't see any Democrat saying, hey, that should apply nationwide. Maine should get out of the way because the Supremacy Clause clearly in the First Amendment, a bunch of other reasons, say that Title IX has this meaning. No, they did not stretch that way. Why? Because that judge did not try to stretch his opinion that far. He said, no, it just applies to the Kentucky jurisdiction in my immediate district area here. Democrats for 10, 15 years have expanded. The Supreme Court just brought the hammer down on these district court judges who have tried to lock Trump into 1,000 injunctions against every one of – there have been more than 100 lawsuits against Trump's executive orders, and every time one gets decided against him in a little teeny jurisdiction of the United States, and there are probably more than 1,000 district court judges, they decide it's a nationwide ruling. Supreme Court said, listen, there's only one Supreme Court. Hey, notice to all district court judges, There's only one Supreme Court, and
they're the only ones that can issue nationwide injunctions. And
that is exactly
now all of this.
Right.
All of this was, of course, via the initial question of birthright citizenship. But the main primary focus was not to make a decision on its 14th Amendment credibility, but rather whether or not individual district judges had the right to impose nationwide injunctions versus merely protecting the plaintiffs in those specific jurisdictions vis-a-vis your earlier reference. Now, Amy Coney Barrett, she said, the issue before us is one of remedy, not that case, is one of remedy. Whether under the Judiciary Act of 1789, federal courts have equitable authority to issue universal injunctions. A universal injunction can be justified only as an exercise of equitable authority, yet Congress has granted federal courts no such power. And it is upon that that this ruling was predicated, effectively shutting down nationwide injunctions. If you can, Bobby Charles, hang on the line for just a moment, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O. Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey! We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. Well, again, the Supreme Court effectively rules 6-3 that lower courts may no longer issue nationwide injunctions against the executive branch because doing so essentially exceeds their jurisdictional authority. The big question is, doesn't this remove the Democrats' last major ability to stifle the winning electorate's agenda? Also, we're covering the Democrats' continuing effort to attack the legality and efficacy of Trump's bombing of Iran's nuclear program. Despite the avalanche of evidence contradicting those positions, are they really this thick or simply sociopathic? But additionally, because this is also quite seismic and noteworthy, I want to discuss Trump's apparent success at the NATO summit. He prevails at the NATO summit quite strongly, wherein he basically secured an agreement from all allies, except Spain, to contribute now 5% of their yearly GDP instead of the earlier 2%, while the Secretary General also acknowledged that America's bombings in Iran has made us all safer. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, sticking around, and we do appreciate that. Old friend of the show, Bobby Charles, Maine gubernatorial candidate, spokesperson for AMAC.us, which is also a healthy, more viable alternative to AARP. He's also a frequent commentator on Fox TV, radio, and print. Of course, where he finds himself most comfortable with the truly erudite surroundings and environs that he so richly deserves is when he comes on The Alan Nathan Show. Anyway, he also served in both the Reagan and Bush 41 White Houses and, of course, was Assistant Secretary of State under Colin Powell. By the way, check out his new book, the highly praised work entitled Cherish America, Stories of Courage, Character, and Kindness. Bobby, again, appreciate you sticking around. And boy, what a success Trump seemed to have at that NATO summit, sir.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Look, you know, victory has a thousand fathers, and failure is an orphan. So, you know, what the NATO allies could not deny is that he just saved them tremendous anxiety and fear. Iran already has medium-range ballistic missiles that could hit London, Bonn, they could hit Berlin, they could hit Paris, okay? And if they had, they were literally days away from completing the enrichment process. They then just had to marry the enriched uranium weapons grade to a delivery device. And so what they are not really saying, but should have been saying, but privately were saying, is you really saved our butts. Because you're the first president since Reagan. Reagan destroyed half of Iran's navy. You're the first president since Reagan to step in and say no. Okay, words are cheap. Actions speak louder than words every day of the week. And we are going to not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon. We're just not going to let it happen. So the other thing I wanted to say on that exact topic, because it reflects what you were talking about earlier, Alan, is that people are saying, oh, well, you know, it can't, I mean, gosh, it couldn't have been, did he destroy everything? And, oh, no, we're going to take this little report and say, no, it didn't. No, listen, not only everything you said was correct, Alan, not only do we have 10 different authorities saying the nuclear program has been effectively destroyed, but in reality, you have to go back always. Human nature, it's like trying to taste to a jury. Go backwards and look at what's going on. These are all Trump haters, okay? The last thing in the world, this is like when he said during the joint session speech, I could cure cancer and you folks over here wouldn't clap, okay? The reality is he just cured the Iranian nuclear cancer and they still won't clap, okay? The reality is this guy has done things no president, arguably, I mean, there has not been a president. Well, Israel did hit the Iraqi nuclear power plant many years ago, but there has not been a president willing to take on Iran territorially and take out their program. And he deployed 119 airframes. I know you know aviation. He deployed B-2s and those bunker busters, biggest in the world. No one else has them. And he said, you know what? We're done. We're absolutely unequivocally done. You hit the gas pedal. You went from 20% to 30% to 60% enrichment. You put yourself within a couple of days of having a nuclear weapon capability. We're done. And you know what? The European allies are sitting back on their hands, and they are first, I think their first reaction was to gasp. Their second reaction was to realize this was truly a surgical strike. This was not the beginning of any war that required declaration. And number three, that he has saved their butts. So you know what? Good for Trump. Trump is an epic, epic leader. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a Reagan guy, but I'm going to tell you, this guy, Donald Trump, is changing the face of the world. And it's all
and their whole argument about the legality of it is just insane. I mean, you got Democrats and some Republicans. Some Republicans, just a few, have been imbecilically claiming that Trump's removal of these sites somehow violated the Constitution and international law. But I think you'll agree with me that this is provably untrue, since imminent threat always justifies defensive military action. And that's whether you're talking about the Constitution or international law. And let's face it, that status of imminent threat wasn't only confirmed by Israeli intelligence and wasn't only confirmed by CENTCOM, our own General Michael Eric Kurilla, but it was also confirmed by the IAEA. I mean, if those weren't enough credible sources confirming Iran's imminent threat to both the Middle East and America, was even the UN's IAEA. These guys formally voted to say that Iran was in violation of the 1970 Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. And let's face it, they also pointed out that it had been close to generating 9 nuclear bombs. That's what the IAEA said, 9 nuclear bombs. And they had always threatened to use those once created. And once that vote happened, alone, Iran's imminent threat posture unambiguously justified that defensive military action. Did it not, Bobby Charles?
Yeah, so in practical terms, on the facts, you're absolutely right. When you have an imminent threat, It is the executive power under Article 2 to react to it. And we have a whole line of cases going back almost to the founding of the country that say that. The second thing I'll just note is that Ronald Reagan, I will never forget, hit and destroyed half of Iran's navy without any congressional declaration of war. And Sam Donaldson, and they're basically saying the same thing here to Trump. Sam Donaldson, you know, was frothing at the mouth and said to him, Mr. President, does this mean we're at war with Iran? And Reagan was headed to the helicopter. He leaned over one shoulder, looked back over one shoulder, and he said, no, Iran would not be that stupid. And I tell you again, Iran would not be that stupid. You go to war with the United States and the mullahs, you know, I understand the Ayatollah probably can't remember what he had for breakfast, but whatever. The mullahs are going to be on in their next plane to Russia, because at the end of the day, Iran is only surviving as a country right now because Israel and the United States decided not to take out their political leadership. So sit back, be quiet, understand that you're a rogue state, you're a terror sponsor, you've created tremendous acrimony and death in the world, and Trump has just said, you're not going to create nuclear death in the world. Not going to happen. Done.
Exactly. And also, Democrats, enough hypocrisy, okay? Because who could forget Obama's attack on Libya without any go-ahead from the legislative branch? I mean, Obama dropped 26,000 bombs across 7 countries, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan, I can't even remember, Iraq and Syria. It jumped to 7 countries, and in part, it was to pursue the battle against ISIS. By the way, a battle not won until Trump came in his first term and did it in about 6 months. Bobby, is the double standard as gagging to you as it is to me?
Of course it is. And if you go back in time, look, Bill Clinton dropped bombs on all kinds of places, believe it or not, that people don't know about. So, look, this is a surgical strike. It was awesome, and it tells you what deterrence really looks like.
Yeah, it's called success. It cannot be denied. Bobby Charles, always a blast having you. Thanks again, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit easyhomemeals.com. That's easyhomemeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Here is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. So much to cover, and as per the norm, so little time to do it. Well, the Supreme Court rules 6-3 that lower courts may no longer issue nationwide injunctions against the executive branch because doing so exceeds their jurisdictional authority. I'm truncating it for you, but that's the end result. But you got to wonder, doesn't this remove the Democrats' last major ability to stifle the winning electorate's agenda? Also, we're covering the Democrats' continuing effort to attack the legality and efficacy of Trump's bombing of Iran's nuclear program, despite the avalanche of evidence contradicting those positions. I mean, are they really this thick or simply sociopathic? Now, before we get to my illustrious guest, I want to share some takes on this, on these topics. I want you to listen to a bit of what White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt had to say. She's saying that only parts of a preliminary assessment on the damage to Iran's nuclear program was leaked. First of all, it shouldn't have been leaked, but it was low confidence, the thing that was leaked, and only a portion of what was leaked was ever addressed by the media. And she rightly takes them to task. Clip 12, James, if you please.
You mentioned this was a low-confidence preliminary intelligence assessment, and the entirety of that assessment was not leaked to the media. Only tidbits of that assessment were leaked to CNN. And we have seen this playbook run before, where you have people in the intelligence community or perhaps on Capitol Hill, we don't know, but I believe the FBI is investigating to find out who that leaker was because it's illegal and they should be held accountable for that, leaked bits and pieces of an intel assessment to push a false narrative. And it's to the same reporter, I will add, Natasha Bertrand of CNN, who has done this in the past.
And she had more to say about this young lady. Clip 13, James, if you please.
In 2020, it was Natasha Bertrand who had 51 intelligence analysts falsely lie to her, but she still put it on paper for some reason, that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Also in 2020, this same reporter, Natasha Bertrand, wrote that a top intel agency ruled out the man-made lab leak theory of the coronavirus origins. Again, the president was right about that. This reporter wrote a lie from the intelligence community to seek a narrative she wanted to prove. Also, in 2024, Bertrand pushed the suckers and losers hoax. She also pushed the fine people hoax. And then last October, and I believe this is notable, Natasha Bertrand published an article in Politico from the intelligence agency. She said that John Ratcliffe was speaking without any evidence when he said Iran was attempting to undermine President Trump's presidential campaign. And then we, of course, found out that was absolutely true. In fact, the Biden administration declassed an intel report which said they had high confidence that Iran had done exactly what Ratcliffe alleged.
All of it's empirically verifiable. It is amazing how often the Democrats continue going to the same well of self-inflicted self-invalidation. I mean, it's just, it's astonishing. And they keep believing that that's what they should continue doing. No matter how often it proves to degrade their standing in the public. I mean, they got an approval rating in the low to mid-20s. If it goes any lower, they'll be competing with most sewage systems in the continental U.S. But that's their habit. That's their penchant, if you will. Anyway, joining us in the opining and analyzing, we have old friend of the show, one of my regulars, Tom Schatz, president of Citizens Against Government Waste. His editorials on fiscal policies have appeared in publications nationwide. We're talking the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. He's also testified on plenty of occasions concerning government waste issues before congressional committees and regulatory bodies. Tom, great to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great, Alan. Thanks.
Good to have you. I want to touch on the wanting credibility of the Democrats vis-a-vis their disinformation campaign against the legality and efficacy of Trump's bombing of Iran's nuclear program. But before we do, wow, what a ruling by the Supreme Court. 6-3, essentially finding that lower courts can no longer issue nationwide injunctions against the executive branch because it exceeds their jurisdictional authority. Your read on all this?
Well, it makes sense, right? A district court has jurisdiction over the district, not the United States. Kind of as simple as that. But that has not been how it's worked.
No.
And the Supreme Court put an end to the ability of one district judge, and I think 35 of the 40 injunctions, as they were talking about in the press conference earlier at the White House, came from, you know, Massachusetts, D.C., California, and New York. Maybe one other state. But the point is that it's like forum shopping. You're going to find a district judge that's going to rule on a decision made by the executive branch that affects the whole country. And that's just not how it should work. And that finally has changed. Now, you take them one by one, or you do a class action, because that could affect the whole country. Is a much tougher way to get the judge to rule in your favor.
And not only that, we should point out the district judge can still thwart the president, but only at that jurisdiction's level. And then maybe a different conclusion is reached in some other district. So then you have what's known as a circuit split. And then it goes, then it is finally decided by, that is a circuit split amongst two different appellate courts. And then it's ultimately decided at the Supreme Court level. Now, just reading in this piece by Fox News by Brian Dippisch and Shannon Bream, they write, the Supreme Court granted a partial stay Friday of President Donald Trump's request to block lower courts from issuing universal injunctions, granting a partial victory for the administration as it looks to execute many of its top priorities via executive order and action. Now, in my estimation, it's partial only in the sense that Trump is free to issue his executive orders free from universal injunctions for those cases unless they're invoked by a decision from the Supreme Court after receipt of those cases. Where am I mistaken?
Right, exactly. It doesn't stop the cases from going forward. It just means that they won't impact the entire country. So it doesn't tie up the whole process. It just says somebody wants to challenge a decision made by the executive branch, perfectly legitimate. They will only get relief in the particular district, federal district court, where they file their case. That one judge can't decide for the entire country what the impact of a particular executive branch decision would be.
The legal report has also referenced that, quote-unquote, justices ruled 6-3 to allow the lower courts to issue injunctions in certain cases, end of excerpt. However, they, too, would be contingent upon, quote-unquote, equitable authority granted by Congress, which is yet to happen in any form. Bottom line, lower courts cannot issue national injunctions. There's the Supreme Court saying, now, if you have equitable authority granted by Congress, yeah, then it can happen. Those would be those certain cases. But effectively, those certain cases are non-existent until Congress grants equitable authority to those courts. Or do I have it incorrect?
No, you do. And in fact, in the One Big Beautiful Bill, there was a provision which the Senate parliamentarian kicked out. But the House passed it with a provision that said what the Supreme Court just said. So the Congress will be going the same way as the Supreme Court, not to the extent of allowing a judge to issue an injunction.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that. They were trying to do legislatively what the court just did for them judicially. This removes some of the resistance that some Republicans have had against the Big Beautiful Bill because it renders their desires granted, even if they came from a different direction. One less impediment stopping the Big Beautiful Bill, or am I being overly sanguine in my assessment?
No. I think the Republicans would have kept it in the Senate, but it was the parliamentarian who said it's not germane, which is the key word, to the overall bill.
Right. And she was put in that position by Biden, wasn't she? I mean, she's been there a while.
But that one doesn't surprise me that much because it all has to do with spending in the bill, and that's not a spending provision.
I agree with you. My point, though, is that you're right. It was the parliamentarian that took it out. However, it still, by default, winds up making perhaps everybody who was originally resisting the bill that much more comfortable because what was taken out by the parliamentarian has essentially been ratified by the judiciary, yes?
Yes, correct. Yep.
I got to ask you, now there's something else going on here as well because it has to do with Coney Barrett. She's the one that wrote for the majority. She said, you know, as you know, all this was generated by whether or not birthright citizenship was constitutionally protected or not. You had three lower courts stopping Trump from banning it. And that is not something that the Supreme Court was deciding on, the merits of the 14th Amendment as it relates. They're waiting for the process to take place. However, what they did point out was this, and this was courtesy of Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She wrote, quote, the issue before us is one of remedy. Whether under the Judiciary Act of 1789, federal courts have equitable authority to issue universal injunctions. A universal injunction can be justified only as an exercise of equitable authority, yet Congress has granted federal courts no such power. Now, Tom, it is upon that that we have the conclusion you and I are discussing, right? We have just witnessed the disillusion of lower district court judges any longer being allowed to issue nationwide injunctions. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes, that's exactly what it says.
I mean, it's gone.
They intended in the first place. That's what the founders intended, and it's been abused in the last several years.
So is it fair to say that Trump's agenda has just been freed like no other time before?
Well, there's still going to be rulings, but it will just go a lot slower and be a lot more difficult to overturn what he's doing.
Final word. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where the General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At the General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Hundreds of thousands of people are pouring into our country under birthright citizenship, and it wasn't meant for that reason. It was meant for the babies of slaves. So thanks to this decision, we can now promptly file to proceed with these numerous policies and those that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis, including birthright citizenship, ending sanctuary city funding, suspending refugee resettlement, freezing unnecessary funding, stopping federal taxpayers from paying for transgender surgeries, and numerous other priorities of the American people. We have so many of them. I have a whole list. I'm not going to bore you.
That was the president celebrating the Supreme Court ruling 6-3 that lower courts may no longer issue nationwide injunctions against the executive branch because doing so exceeds their jurisdictional authority. The big question is, doesn't this remove the Democrats' last major ability to stifle the winning electorate's agenda? I think so. This is a very, very huge development. And this Supreme Court decision is going to have widespread implications. And it's going to be providing a knockdown effect on more than 300 federal lawsuits that have been curtailing the White House's actions for ever since Trump arrived back in the Oval Office. Now, writing this decision was Justice Amy Conan Barrett, because originally this was all about birthright citizenship, but that's still an issue to be decided. The underlying issue that's actually far more important, because it affects all rulings, is whether or not lower district judges should any longer be allowed to supplant the agenda of the executive, as opposed to ruling for the plaintiff in a fashion that stays within the environs of that judge's own district. It could still stop a president from impacting a particular plaintiff, but it would only be in that district as opposed to being nationwide. And this is what she wrote. The applications do not raise, and thus we do not address, the question whether the executive order violates the Citizenship Clause or Nationality Act, talking about birthright citizenship. But she goes on to say, the issue before us is one of remedy, whether under the Judiciary Act of 1789, federal courts have equitable authority to issue universal injunctions. A universal injunction can be justified only as an exercise of equitable authority, yet Congress has granted federal courts no such power. Now, looking at Fox, they say Coney Barrett took a swipe at Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, saying that her argument was, quote, at odds with more than two centuries worth of precedent, not to mention the Constitution itself. We observe only this. Jackson decries an imperial executive while embracing an imperial judiciary. In her dissent, Jackson warned that the ruling allowed the president to, quote unquote, violate the Constitution and presented a, quote unquote, existential threat to the rule of law. But again, we have this lady unable to tether her assertions to the required validating grounds. She's using labels in lieu of arguments she can't muster. I mean, she's forgetting that each branch has certain absolute powers beyond the reach of the other two, okay? And really, this is to ensure that each branch may leverage against the other the checks and balances and reciprocal checks and balances required to maintain and protect their respective allocated authorities. That's what checks and balances are all about. But they can't function unless we acknowledge the separation of powers that drive the leverage. Now, in Marbury versus Madison, 1803, the Supreme Court at the time rightly clarified its branch's authority for judicial review. In other words, its power to interpret when a conflict is judicially reviewable and whether challenged laws pass constitutional muster, fine. But the right to interpret the Constitution has never been a license to unilaterally amend it. That's an Article 5 function. And only a constitutional amendment could allow a court to absorb another branch's allocated authorities. They can't usurp another branch's authorities just because they're doing so under the trappings of officialdom. So, yeah, judicial review makes sense. Because there's plenty of times when the Constitution just doesn't have the corresponding language to deal with a particular challenge and focus. So, yeah, we accept the court's aggregate determinations over these conflicts. But when the Constitution does provide direct wording, and any court in our judiciary disregards its instructions on point, well, that's when the court has committed a hostile act against its own citizenry and has to be met with the same leveraged check it routinely applies to the other two branches. It's part of a co-equal branch, not a superior one. So to be unambiguously clear, not even the Supreme Court can credibly rule that the Constitution is in opposition to that which its text explicitly permits. Nor, of course, can it rule that the Constitution is in support of that which its text explicitly forbids. Again, unless language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it. And if even the Supreme Court can't do such a thing, well, then neither can any of its lower courts. I mean, we've got to remember something. Ultimately, though we don't want to see it happen, but ultimately, technically, Trump can ignore any federal judge's usurpation of his branch's prerogatives by taking advantage of the court's inability to enforce it. It's a limitation deliberately designed by the authors of our Constitution to ensure that no part of the judiciary could ever morph into a tyrannical entity. The check must be used sparingly, as history has shown, but guys, it does exist. You see, contrary to popular understanding, the judiciary and any of its components, they're never the final arbiter of whether or not it has usurped another branch's separated powers. Otherwise, it could potentially rule that it has the actionable authority to oversee the military's operations instead of the president, or initiate legislation instead of Congress. And we could thank Charles-Louis de Second, Baron de Montesquieu. He's the one that provided this failsafe. He warned about this very risk when originating the separation of powers principle upon which our founding fathers had predicated America's own three branches of government. Matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson expressed similar concern when writing to Judge Spencer Roane in November of 1819. He warned that without constraints, the Constitution, quote, is a mere thing of wax in the hands of the judiciary, which they may twist and shape into any form they please, unquote. Now, not to worry, the president is not a king. So he also faces a check against becoming a tyrannical entity should he interfere with proper judicial review in the name of protecting his separated powers. Congress can find that maybe the president is that rogue entity and impeach him and then send the case to the Senate for trial. But if it fails to reach the two-thirds vote required to trigger that stoppage, that expulsion, well, then the president will have won that constitutional argument as per the highest legal process in the land, and his repulsion of that alleged judicial overreach shall stand. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.